The numbers told the story, they always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Good Friday morning, too. It is a numbers game at VSiN, the Sports Betting Network, VSiN.com, Game Plus, iHeartRadio, YouTube TV, and of course, SiriusXM Channel 158. It's Gil Alexander and Kelly Bidlin, ladies and gentlemen. I walk in here at Circa. And, you know, there's a sports book right behind us, obviously. And there's that massive screen. Oh, see the massive screen right there if you look over my right shoulder right there?
It says Gil Alexander letters right now.
Here's the thing. We are rarely on the big screen. We are never big screen and full audio. And yet I walk in here and Bidlin is just screaming at me.
Yelling at Dave about Ryder Cup stuff and everything.
Yelling at Dave.
That was great.
Nice job.
I love hanging out with those guys. We talk about it all the time. It's so nice being right after Dave and Jensen do such a great job, such great attitudes. Love working with those guys
here. Great attitudes. We always say every day, we were thrilled that we get to see Dave every day and see Stormy every day. You know, and now obviously JVT as well, but it's just great attitudes by all. We have some great attitudes on the show today. John Legesa is joining us. Now, that is a solid booking right there.
Fired up, ready to go.
Have you had any opportunity by any chance to catch John Legesa's podcast?
I have, yes.
I just want to say this, and I say this with, I'm not even mad at him, I say this with the ultimate respect. No man fits more curse words into a short amount of time than that gentleman, John Legesa.
If you think he's a firecracker or intense on this show when he comes on, check out his podcast.
I don't even believe he gets through this. I can't believe he gets through this without doing it. Well, we'll find out if that happens. John Legesa talked baseball with us. Chris Felica, also world-renowned potty mouth, coming on the show, talk NBA draft with us, talk some women's Euro with us as well.
Yeah.
Amongst the other sports. You know, with Felica, it's always like five sports deep with his bets.
I love it. When one of the guests sends me a market that I have to confirm with them on, like that's what you know you're really testing things.
What was the other one you wanted to talk about? Women's Euros, NBA draft?
He's got some NBA draft, and then he's got some MLB awards.
MLB awards. That's what he wanted to talk about as well. So we'll talk to Felica. And then the Are We Sure spillover from yesterday, which we never get to, obviously, the first time we try. For Estamos Seguros, but we'll try today more Are We Sure questions from Kelly. We, of course, begin with NBA Finals Game 6 last night. Maybe you thought the Pacers would cover this game. Maybe you even thought the Pacers would win Game 6 and force a Game 7. But did you think that was going to happen? What happened to the Thunder yesterday? 108-91 is the final score. That final score does not even come near to suggesting how big of a blowout this game was. Pacers led by as many as 31. Well, I mean, real quick, game started. OKC went up 10-2 when the Pacers missed their first eight shots of the game.
Series over, Gil.
It's over, 10-2.
Runaway.
KD barred the door. Why are we even watching? Well, I'll tell you why we're watching, because the Pacers went 8 of 10 on their next 10 shots. They tied it at 10. They took their first lead at 13-12, and they would never relinquish that lead. It was part of a 24-7 run that put them up 26-17. OKC did close the first quarter with an 8-2 run, so it was only a 3-point Pacer lead after the first. And you looked at the box score, and OKC was already getting dominated, and they're only down 5. And so you had that kind of thought at that moment. You're like, wow, if OKC's still in this game and they're getting dominated, what's this going to be like? It got to 34-33 Pacers, and from that point forward, wow, all Indiana. An 11-0 Indiana run got it to 45-33. Eventually, it turned into a 17-2 Indiana run, and then by the end of the half, a 30-9 Indiana run to lead 64-42 at the half. And that the last second-to-last bucket of that for the Pacers was the sort of signature play of the game, where Halliburton stole the ball and then sort of off balance, almost out of bounds, does a Magic Johnson-like no-look to Siakam for the jam.
Yeah,
22-point lead at the half. Needless to say, this was already the biggest lead in the series for the Pacers. At halftime, OKC had 12 turnovers to the Pacers, 16-2 in terms of points off the turnovers, 8 steals for the Pacers at that point, and the bench dominating 19-3. OKC from behind the arc, 1 of 11. What do I say all the time? All you need to do is show me the 3-point shooting stat. I'll tell you who won the game.
Yeah, it was a complete and utter embarrassment by Oklahoma City. And
oh, it gets worse.
Go ahead. Yeah. It does.
I mean,
third
quarter. First of all, nobody scores the first 3 minutes and 53 seconds of it, right, till Haliburton scores to make it 66-42 with just over 8 minutes left. OKC at this point, one of 16 from three. And OKC scores its first points of the third quarter with 7:15 to go. In other words, 4 minutes and 45 seconds in. Amazing.
I don't get, Gil, what the... I know we've talked about this team being young, right? But it was you start the game, and it was like, oh, okay, what? Hallie's injured. We're just cruising to an NBA Finals. I'd hate to like make it that basic, but that really it felt like what the mindset was. Okay, you hit halftime. You're not completely out of this game yet. Let's get things back on track, Dags, and get this team rolling. And they come out third quarter was just as bad as what they looked like at the end of the first half.
Unbelievable. Couldn't believe what
you
were watching.
It was crazy.
The under, by the way, hits so easily. Congratulations to everybody who had that. 223, not even 200 scored in the end, 199. By the way, when they scored their first bucket of the second half, they were already down 28. They end up trailing by 30 by the end of 390-60. Fewest points through three quarters of this season for OKC. And the thing at halftime was, I was with my brother watching this. I said to him, and I'm sure a lot of people said this to each other. Maybe we didn't have the audio. Maybe they said it on the broadcast, which is, at what point does OKC just pack this in if they're still down? And the answer was right after the third quarter.
Yeah.
They waved the white flag, down 30. It got to 31. The cosmetic 17-point margin at the end. Pacers just absolutely rolling this game. Toppin, 20. Siakam, 16-13. Nembhard, 17. McConnell, 12-9-6. And Haliburton, will he play, won't he play? 14 points. Went to the bench with 5:25 left at the third quarter to rest. Never came back. 21 turnovers, Kelly, for OKC. 16 steals for the Pacers.
Yeah, most turnovers they've had since December in a game. We could go on and on about how bad Oklahoma City was. I think that SGA, 8 turnovers by himself. There, and credit some of this to Rick Carlisle. Everybody was saying, okay, the Pacers have made every adjustment that they can to this Thunder team, and we've seen games 4 and game 5, the talent just overwhelmed them, and this was going to be the end of the series. Carlisle had another card up his sleeve, and it was, okay, we're going to mix up the coverage on SGA even more. We've been pressing him a ton all up and down court. No, we're sick of getting burned in the paint. We're going to drop back a little bit further. Thought it was great adjustments by Carlisle. He had his team ready to go. Haliburton, I think the one thing that's overblown a little bit, Gil, is I think there's too much going on right now. That was a smokescreen. He was fine last night.
I don't agree with that.
No, he is still playing at like 80%,
agreed,
which makes this even worse, right?
Yeah.
And I think as we look ahead to game 7, this still makes it a little bit more difficult.
Well, so here's the thing. So this is going to be the 20th game 7 in NBA Finals history. There have been 19 of them. Straight up, 15 home teams have won. But you think about the Oklahoma City Thunder, and by the way, Shai Gilgeous-Alexander about the game last night said, quote, "We sucked tonight," pretty much sums it up. But my question then becomes, and I've already bet the Pacers plus the points here in game 7, at plus 8.5. The question becomes, because remember, Denver beat OKC pretty handily game 6 of that series. OKC came back and rolled the Nuggets in game 7. Or back in NBA Finals history, as I said, 15 of 19 home teams have won. But isn't it ironic that the 1978 Seattle Supersonics, the precursor to these Thunder, went into Washington up 3-2, Game 6, lost by 35 points, still one of the top five blowouts in NBA Finals history, played around with their food a little too much, as they say now, lost Game 7 at home to Washington. Most recent Game 7 win on the road, the Cleveland Cavaliers 2016 against the Dubs.
Yep.
That was also the only 3-1 comeback in an NBA Finals. So the question becomes, which is it, right? Which is it, the OKC team that came back and did what they did to Denver? Or is this going to be sort of like those historical anomalies where it's like, oh man, you got crushed in Game 6. What was that? And I will happily take 8.5 points.
Yeah, I'm with you. I mean, we've been talking about it. It feels like for like a week now. If this got to a game 7, yeah, it's going to be. Sorry, I'm leaning with Carlisle. I think you got the better coach on the Indiana side. You're going to get the points with a shortened total. Right, we're talking about a total that's about 10 points shorter than the last game we played in Oklahoma City.
215.5.
Yeah, so you're getting a little extra bang for your buck on that spread, taking the points. I'm with you. I grabbed 8.5 last night. Look, I'd be betting it that way. I'd be betting it that way anyways. I will say, Gil, I've got those Thunder futures tickets. So for me, it's take 8.5. If a middle occurs, that would be fantastic. But if I didn't have those futures tickets, I'd still be betting Pacers plus 8.5.
You're set up nicely.
I will say I'm going a little bit lighter on that than I was planning, only because it's still, to me, Haliburton is still very much affected out there. And if your star player is still hurt, it's a lot to ask to go into Oklahoma City, get a W with him laboring a bit, and the difference between what the Thunder have been at home and away this playoffs, it really can't be overstated.
Listen, I said yesterday that the Thunder vying to be only the fourth team in NBA history to win 84 games, both regular season and playoffs. Only the 73-win Warriors, 72-win Bulls, and another Jordan Bulls team got to 84 wins. 83 wins ain't going to get it done for the Thunder. So this is so great on Sunday because it's either a, for the NBA hardos, and I think any NBA analytics person, one of the great teams ever, we can say this OKC team wins the title, or I would, and I've been contending this the whole time, or we have the greatest playoff run that we've ever seen by any team, given the fact that the Pacers won a game in each of their playoff series where their win probability was right around 2%, give or take a percent or two on a couple of those. I really believe that. And so I, you know, look, from the fan perspective, I'm rooting for that to happen, but those are the stakes on Sunday. You can't ask for more than that.
And hopefully we just get a good game. I mean, last night was trash.
Kelly just wants a good game, hopes nobody gets hurt. That's all you want.
I want my money.
That's all you want. Coming back on A Numbers Game at Visa, the Sports Betting Network.
VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Want to bet smarter? Start with Smarter Insights, of course, at VSiN.com. You can check it out. All of Greg Peterson's MLB best bets, NBA Game 7 best bets and player props, UFC, it's all there. Steve Mackinnon with all his power ratings and betting trends. How about JVT's MLB picks and props? Zach Cohen's tennis bets, best bets? Churchill Downs picks? We got it all at VSiN.com, where, again, right now you can sign up for as little as $9.99 to get full access to all VSiN articles. Just head to VSiN.com/subscribe to sign up today. Skill Alexander, we get tweets, beating the book. We have an ornery group of tweeters this morning. C. Spackler, expert. I understand the term breakpoint in tennis. You need to break the serve, but break? Break the server's ability to continue to score? Breaking the scoring drive? Breaking the double play? Was it in another language? Breaking Gil's train of thought? Scotty B7.
That was a tweet right there. Scott, wow.
Scotty B726. Oh, it gets better. Suggested question. Are we sure OKC is better? He loves his Pacers. He's angry anytime anybody says anything good about the Thunder. Super Jerk. I was hoping for Chief from Under a Cloud of Smoke today. I think he has the Hamburglar in the NBA draft at 5,001. Angriest guy back in business on Blue Star. You guys have a nice weekend. I'm going to the Flower Garden. Leave me alone. I don't even know anymore.
I gotta love tweeting into a show and ending it with "Leave me alone."
Leave me alone. Chris Heath, cure for your neck strain, Circa Shower. Spence, this has been the best
Circa
NBA
shower. Water pressure, man, I'll take care of it.
Right, I'm checking in tonight.
It's like a massage without going anywhere, Gil.
I'm not checking in tonight, Spence. This has been the best NBA finals I can remember in recent history. I've been on Indy throughout, so somewhat profitable. If viewership is down, those people watching just don't like the NBA. Also, I am not an attorney.
That game stunk last night, though. I mean,
It was like I said that away, and I was like, well, good guys won, but that kind of sucked.
I mean, after I gave it, even personally, I gave it all the way through halftime. Gil saw how the Thunder came out in the third quarter, and I was like, I got to put something else on TV number two and put this on mute because this is over.
Trip Tepper, before giving OKC the all-time great nod, can we admit the following? The regular season data is polluted by lack of player availability and league-wide apathy for the regular season. I just can't put OKC in the same universe as 2017 Golden State. Well, you know, Tripp, you're speaking my language, right? That's my whole handicapping tenet with the NBA. But it's also a little disrespectful, too, at the same time.
Yeah, I don't know. If you want to make that comparison to, like, one of the Bulls teams, maybe I'll give it to you. Because what do you say all the time? Michael, how many games did Michael Jordan miss, right? But, like, 2017, stars were still missing games.
Tyler Krennic. Gil, just welcomed my first daughter last Friday, June 13th. A numbers game has become a staple of our morning routine. The Fezzik block puts her right to sleep. I am not superstitious, but I have not won a bet since. Wouldn't trade it for the world. Thanks, fellas. There you go. All over the place. Yeah, this
however
morning.
We can help.
Yeah, however. Ladies and gentlemen, it is a pleasure to have this man on. It's tougher to get like Obama or Trump on the show than it is this guy. Barely, I should say. It's John Legesa, everybody, at John Lagheza on Twitter, senior betting analyst for, of course, Athlon Sports these days. How you doing, John?
What's going on? Back by popular demand, the microwave.
The microwave, instant offense. Can I ask you a question before
exactly.
before we get
right,
to...
Right, if Fezzik is putting babies to sleep, oh, maybe yeah. you want to bring them in the other room or they're about to wake up, right?
Fezzik is a lullabying voice.
Yeah, I didn't know that.
I want to ask you something, John Legesa. You have a podcast. Can you tell people what the name of your podcast is?
Yes, Cork Stats Podcast. It'll be ripped in just a few minutes. I had to take a couple days off getting my feet under me with the new spot at Athlon, but now I'm starting to get the routine back under, and man, there's just something about covering every single baseball game every single day at 150 miles an hour off the crack of the bat. I'm pretty sure no one else quite doing it like me. Not sure if that's a good or a bad thing.
Well, no one is quite doing it like you, that's for sure. And so I just want to ask you,
luckily for them,
because we just were talking about, you know, little children should not listen to your podcast, John. I just like to know your strategy of what your mindset is with this, where you're like, I'm going to curse as much as humanly possible in a short a period of time. Are you going for a certain niche audience with this? What is the strategy here? Baseball,
you know, I gotta be me. You know, listen, I just want to do it differently. There's all this glad-handing and bottom powdering going on in the sports industry, and I'm just doing it differently. You come hang out with us, and I talk to you like an adult.
Yeah.
You know, we talk like adults where I come from, just the way we would if we were at the bar or the pub or kicking it. And as, you know, mouth-breathing, knuckle-dragging as some of the language is, I like to think we're bringing some of the high IQ stuff as well. You know, it's always been my thing, the kind of Beauty and the Beast there.
Yeah, glad-handing and bottom-powdering, the man said, Kelly.
Bottom-powdering. You know, yeah. Stealing that one, John.
All the agreeing, all the soft takes. People come for hard-hitting stuff. They also would like to laugh. You know, heaven forbid, if you're going to model baseball and bet baseball every day,
no laughing on this show,
John. You have to have at least a little bit of fun, or the process becomes unsustainable.
No laughing on this show, Kelly. We have a strict no laugh policy on
that's
the
right.
show.
Very buttoned up.
All right, John. Let me give you your props. Can I give you some props here about not quite halfway through the season? But I remember you came on here pre-flop, if you will, and you said Pete Alonso most RBIs. That is when I look up at the old leaderboard. That's what I'm seeing here. What do you have him at?
I'm feeling pretty good about it. We were talking about it off air briefly that. Sometimes the cap, and again, it's not done. We don't want to put the cart before the horse, but this is exactly what we were expecting. Getting really long odds on a fantastic hitter with one of the generation's great on-base hitters right in front of him. Soto, he's taken so much flack here. And again, he is absolutely fantastic. He is such a fantastic hitter. He just frustrates the hell out of every pitcher he faces. He's very hard to take out of the zone. We knew he was going to put up a 400 OBP. And Alonso, not just is he a proven run producer, we also mentioned this off air, he plays every single day. It was really kind of insulting that Uncle Stevie going in his bag to back up the Brinks truck for everybody, that there were doubts that they might not bring Pete Alonso back. Well, he's been a linchpin of this offense, and one of the reasons they look like they're going to make a deep run into November.
By the way, Alonso, 63 RBI, one RBI
Let's
ahead
go.
Of... Eugenio Suarez. I just want to say Eugenio. All right, what did you land on today, John?
All right, taking a little bit of break from the baseball, look at the gridiron. You know, for me, that the kind of catalyzing moment is after the draft, as the dust starts to settle and books start to get kind of robust with their plays. Let's not bury the lead. Give me the Saints for the league's worst record.
Ooh.
Of course, shop it around, but you're going to get at least plus 400 on that. And the operative word for me today, Gil, is systemic rot. I mean, we all know it's not really 8D chess, right? Mentioned in Trump, that it all starts with the quarterback. I don't know what you think about Derek Carr, but him deciding to retire after the draft really didn't help the Saints prospects. They ended up drafting Tyler Shuck in the second, who when I was just looking through the game logs, I don't pretend to be a prospector. He played 6 years. in college, and it took him 6 years to get over 3,000 yards, play 10 games, and get to just 23 touchdowns. You don't really know what to expect. He was really just kind of projected to be a backup. I already think the Saints have their eyes on the Archie sweepstakes next year, and it's not like they were just missing a QB. This is a bottom three team on both sides of the ball, right? Less than 20 points per game on offense, negative net point differential, bottom five in net yard differential, bottom five success rate. Not going to do it. The offensive line was terrible. They were bottom five in hurries, hits, and pressures, all the stuff that we're looking for. They did draft Kelvin Banks from Texas. Not sure how much that's going to matter because the defense also stunk in a much improved division. I think at the very least, the other teams, even though, listen, they're not great, this division is not great, they have found their answers at QB. Right, Tampa and Baker Mayfield going together like lamb and tuna fish, if you get the reference. But even Carolina, and I have to take an L for love, right, on my big fat forehead, for maybe thinking Bryce Young wasn't cut out for it. You look at the last 10 games last year, he looks at least like a answer at QB, and there's probably 15 teams that can't say that. The schedule isn't going to do him any favors. They have the AFC East, the NFC West. That NFC West, I particularly like. The Saints are in a boatload of trouble. And I think the other teams that were kind of competing for that bottom spot have taken a step forward. Right, the Patriots have their answer at QB. And while the Browns might not have the answer at QB, it might be on the roster. The thing they do have are multiple impact players on the defensive line. And Myles Garrett is a disruptor. And it's going to keep you in some of those cold weather games when it's hard to throw the ball deep. So I just think the Saints are leaps and bounds worse than anybody. This number, by my calculation, should be more like a plus 200, maybe plus 225. So it could be the Saints for the worst record. They could go winless in this bad boy. Who knows?
Oh, my goodness. Their quarterback.
Yeah,
I
know the odds of that are probably really long. But, yeah, give me the worst record. I don't think they get the four wins.
Depth chart of quarterback Tyler Shucks, Spencer Rattler, Jake Haener, and Hunter Deckers from Iowa Western Community College.
I'm not sure how much more bullish I'd be on them if Derek Carr were playing. I think that says a lot just about the situation. And again, with Archie kind of waiting in the wings, we know football teams think about that, right? If you get off to that 0-5, 0-6 start, maybe you start making personnel decisions that aren't necessarily conducive to winning, looking to get that, you know, get that franchise piece under the rookie deal, which we know is related to winning. So that just all the boxes being checked here for this Saints.
John, just give me a baseball play in 3 seconds. It is? Who do you like best?
Oh, my gosh. I don't know. Okay. I really didn't even. I don't know.
Thank you. John Legace, everybody.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Looking for a more exciting way to bet? It's called xcutta.com. That's X-C-U-T-T-A. And it's the future of futures wagering. It combines the adrenaline, of live auction with the strategy of sports betting or fantasy picks. It's easy to use, and it works for any sport. Over 1,000 teams, players, golfers, and drivers. XCut is adaptable to any sport, even horse racing, and it's free to sign up. You pick who you want to bid on, customize your own auction, set your winnings, and invite your friends to play. You could even create auctions for free. Don't cost you nothing. XCut has free auctions every day at 3, 6, and 9 p.m. Eastern Time. Send an email to support@xcutta.com. Mention VSiN, and they'll give you a 3-month player promo code to get started. XCutta is a sports Calcutta. Again, that's xcutta.com, X-C-U-T-T-A. I knew they would finally mention Calcutta.
There you go.
X going to give it to you.
Hey, nope. Kelly Bidlin with a musical reference.
Hey.
We get tweets at Beat of the Book. Dell Mind the Gap Radio. Good Friday. Just a thanks for reading my tweets. Made a decent amount of money listening to your show. Signing up for Millions in Survivor Tuesday. Yeah, sign-ups every day right outside the studio. They're waiting on you.
Proxies are not ready yet. Proxies are not ready. Give them maybe 30 more minutes.
When we leave, they're always there.
Yeah. Kind of cracks me up.
Let's see. Wanyel D112. Tell John we would prefer spaghetti and meatballs. A+ Big Daddy reference.
That was great.
Trip Tepper, here's a respectful rebuttal to the notion that load management was a thing in 2017. Games played started by Golden State Warriors starting five. Clay, 78 games played, 78 games started. Steph, 79 games played, 79 games started. Durant, 62 and 62. Draymond, 76 and 76. Zaza,
70 and 70.
Sixth man, Iggy, 76 games played. He's really on this. He really wants to make his point. Tony Tags, I would trade my first porn child, Rumpelstiltskin style, if OKC never wins a title, go Sonics. That is part of, that is, by the way, why I brought up the 78 bullets, not only because I love the 78 bullets and any chance I get to bring them up, I will, but for the Sonics fans out there, they are actively rooting for this to happen. They're actively rooting for them to see the same fate as 78 Sonics. By the way, 78 Sonics avenged that championship loss the next year by beating the Bullets in 1979. And then you know what happened? Bird and Magic got drafted.
I mean, hey, look, anybody in Seattle who wants to be angry about all of this, I am not going to blame.
We hear you, Seattle. Ladies and gentlemen, he's known as the Bear. You can follow him at Chris Felica, F-A-L-L-I-C-A on Twitter. Here to talk multiple sports and multiple bets with us, courtesy of the Progressive Guest Line, is Chris Felica. How you doing, man?
I'm doing okay. I was telling you guys in the break, I'm a little bit of a gun-shy lull right now, just because the other day, having Arkansas and losing that game the way I did, playing Willie's under a half a hit for Hernandez for the Marlins and getting a hit in the ninth because there was a left-handed reliever and he stayed in the game. Yeah, I've let a couple of CONCACAF Gold Cup unders get away, so I need to get the swagger back and the confidence back. So we got Sabalenka and Rybakina on right now, and hopefully we can hopefully you'll get us on the right path with the win there with your tennis play.
By the way, VSiN.com/picks. I have two tennis plays today. Rybakina up on, it's on serve for right now in the first set. I am on Rybakina at a dog price +140 something. Hopefully she can get a break here. And the only other play today, Amanda Anisimova, is my other play starting in a bit. So those are the only two tennis plays. Elena Rybakina and Amanda Anisimova. Again, pays to be a subscriber. VSiN.com/picks. Yes, sir.
I know you'll be surprised to hear this, but Paula Badosa had to retire this morning.
That never happens. Really? Wow.
Actually, I feel bad for her. She's got a really chronic back injury. So unfortunately, it looks like she's never going to really reach the heights we once thought she might.
Bublik beating Sinner yesterday, Kelly Bidlin. It was a big one. Okay, let's get to all.
Did you see the Bocelli Sinner song that's out?
No.
Oh, you got. Yeah, I'll send you the link for it. Like Sinner and Bocelli have like this duet. It's incredible.
What? Wow.
Is it safe for air?
Andrea Bocelli, one of the great voices ever, and Yannick Sinner, world number one.
All right.
Rybakina with a break, so that's a good start there with the dog there. Okay, we have lots of sports to get to with you.
Yeah.
Do you have anything in – you gave us Madison Keys 18-1 at Wimbledon. Is that your only Wimbledon play so far?
That's the only Wimbledon play I have right now. I'll wait and see the draws to come out. But I have a hard time pre-draw really seeing someone other than Rybakina or Keys. When Rybakina's form on grass right now, it's been great.
Okay, women's Euros, soccer, you have a play.
Yeah, I love Spain in this tournament. They are the favorite. They're anywhere between 2-1 and 5-2 to win. They won the World Cup a couple of years ago when they were in the midst of all the controversy with their federation off the pitch, and they didn't even have some of their best players. And Alexia Putellas wasn't even fully healthy, and they still wind up winning the event. Now they're all back together, back healthy. Things are much more copacetic off the pitch now. And I think one of the driving forces here is you look back at the Women's Champions League, and Barcelona lost. And so many of these players on the Spanish national team played for Barcelona. I think the fact that they get an opportunity back now on the international stage, they got an easy group. They'll win the group. And the way it's going to shake down is they will wind up playing potentially England, who they beat in the World Cup final a couple of years ago, in the semis. So maybe you could get a Spain-England semifinal and then a much easier final matchup. But yeah, Spain to win. And if you can potentially find a Spain-France, name the finalists, that might be the way to go. But Spain is the best team in the world, and they should win.
Okay. Spain, 2-1, women's Euros, which start when exactly, Chris?
I believe it is July 3rd officially is the start date. But I think it's like July 3rd to July 27th, I think, are the dates.
Okay.
About 2 weeks.
We got 2 weeks. Okay.
Chris, how far down the board can you even consider in this type of tournament?
Great question.
Because it is
France. Spain, England, France. Okay. Sorry to cut you off. But if any of those three... anyone other than those three win, it'll be a massive upset.
All right, MLB awards. You had some thoughts and some bets.
Yeah, if Pete Crow Armstrong goes 40-40 and the Cubs win the division, he's winning this, right?
As long as Shohei doesn't really have a standout pitching season, maybe so, yeah.
Because like we've talked about this, and we talked about it last year, and was one of the reasons why I mentioned Lindor. When like if you give it to Shohei last year when he didn't pitch, aren't you basically saying you're going to give it to him every year? But I don't know. Crow Armstrong is having an unbelievable year. He's still 12-1 out there. I know people with much better numbers out there, but he goes 40-40. They win this division. I think there's going to be a strong push for him to win this award. And that big story on ESPN.com came out earlier in the week. So I bet him. It was funny. I bet him yesterday morning at 18-1, and I'm glad I did. And now he's down to 12-1 today. And then earlier in the week when I was on with Matt and Will Hill, I mentioned Ben Kasperius to win NL Rookie of the Year. He was, I think, 11-1 at the time. Now he's plus 850. I still think that's a great play. The guys ahead of him in the NL Rookie of the Year market, but Baldwin, Shaw, Mizrowski, Augustin Ramirez from the Marlins, I don't think any of those guys really have the long-term power and room for growth that Kasperius, someone who's going to be in the Dodgers rotation, does. So I'd look at that. And then the Braves to make the playoffs at plus 270 is something I might even look at. I know they're 5.5 games out of the wild card right now, but Acuna is back healthy, and Strider's last two starts have been fantastic. So 5.5 out with a bunch of games to play, I think the Braves at plus 270 to make the playoffs is certainly worth a look as well.
Yeah, Wyatt Tomchek, love hearing that. Big Braves fan. All right, 5 days away from the NBA draft, sir. You have fired away on this already.
Yeah, I have. I a little bit of intel and conversations and talked with some people who may be in the know. I think on Newton Knuppel under 6.5 is a really good bet. I hear he could go as high as 3, because who the heck knows what's going to happen with that Sixers pick, with all the drama with Ace Bailey refusing to work out for teams and such. So I think Knuppel under 6.5. is definitely worth a look. Thomas Sorber from Georgetown, the 6'10", 6'11" center forward, under 18.5, which I think the Jews, I think around minus 145 or so to go under. That's another play that I made. And I played Asa Newell to go in the top 10. He's like 16-1 to go in the top 10 right now. I think he is someone, his youth and potential upside for a team that's basically in the tank of the league right now would allow as a team to draft someone as young as him with as big of an upside and get their coach a couple of free years. So Newell top 10, Sorber under 18.5, Knuppel under 6.5, I all played. And I think all of the prices on Giannis's next team, I think, unfortunately, the way I hear the winds are blowing, he's going to wind up staying in Milwaukee, rather. So I think that plus 500 on Giannis to stay in Milwaukee, unfortunately, might be the best way to look. Sorry, Kelly, for all of our
-500
Wemby Giannis dreams. Sorry.
-500, yes.
Yes. Did I say plus? I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Don't worry, Chris. I'd rather him stay there than go to, like, Toronto. Yeah.
Well, yesterday on the show when we were talking NBA draft, we mentioned that we might have someone who might have a little intel. So, I don't know. You take your guess as to who that might be now. Thank you, Chris. Appreciate it.
You're welcome, guys. Have a great weekend.
You too. Chris Felica, everybody. The Bear. At Chris Felica on Twitter. The Bear Bets podcast does them year-round. Pro football, college football being, of course, like most podcasts in this space, the biggest thrust of podcast. Am I allowed to say thrust of podcast? I think I am. NBA MVP. Finals MVP next.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Edge Boost is the first ever bank account built for bettors, ensuring all gambling transactions are approved. No usage fees, no minimums. Earn cashback rewards, 100% approval for all betting deposits. Sign up today at edgeboost.bet with promo code ANG.
ANG as in a numbers game, folks. The fine program you're listening to right now.
There you go. There's some effort. There you go. Deposit $25 and Edge Boost will match the deposit. That's edgeboost.bet. Well done. That's the old Kelly Bidlin right there. Put in max effort. We get tweets beating the book. Get Ron Burgundy through some of these.
Like lamb really... and tuna fish. That was a great line. Rob Schneider been brought up multiple times on the show this week, somehow.
Paul M. Please tell Kelly to shut his mouth when he talks about Toronto. LOL. Jeffrey R. says, yo, I'm not seeing any tennis plays on the picks page. Do they not get them on the picks page?
Love Toronto.
Just click on tennis, see if they're there. Anyway, those are the two places.
I'm going to Canada and Anisimova. I'm going to Canada in 3 weeks. Looking forward to it. Never been to Canada.
You going to Montreal?
I'm going to Montreal.
I've never been to Montreal. Yeah. Here it's beautiful.
Well, I'm very much looking forward to it. Lived in Alaska.
Have you brushed up on your French?
No, not at all. Actually, who asked me this yesterday? Wyatt. I think Wyatt asked me this yesterday. He's like, how's your French? And I'm like, you know what? Yeah, I mean, as you know, my Espanol is muy bueno.
Clearly.
and there's a few other languages that I could get by with, you know? French? Not at all. Not at all.
Yeah.
So look out for that American who's just going to be asking for everything.
Just if you run amok, just say, I'm Preston Johnson. And they just go, that's what
I also have the realization, I'm like, my American dollars probably aren't going to work very well up there. Got to figure out that whole system, too.
Work on your Quebecois. Bruce Dobigan, Pacers bringing in Sophie Cunningham for Game 7, secret weapon. I love how the folks just, they tweet whatever. It's great. By the way, Rybakina got broke back. That's not fun. We're on serve in the first set, 5-4, Elena Rybakina. Rybakina and Anisimova, the two tennis plays today. Just a couple things before we launch into a little Are We Sure here on the show. Coolest thing, we didn't mention the Lakers getting sold for $10 billion yesterday. The Buss family sells the Lakers for $10 billion. Just think about that. And they don't even own the arena. And the Celtics, by comparison, were what, $6 billion? Yep. So, I mean, that's just, it's just unbelievable. The Buss family, Jerry Buss specifically, bought the Lakers in 1979 for $67.5 million. And now being sold for $10 billion. The coolest thing I heard about this, the coolest stat, had he just put the $67.5 million in the S&P 500, he'd have made more. The family would have made more money. That's amazing.
The one that I wanted to bring up about that is, man, I think Brian Windhorst said this on Hoop Collective, his podcast. JVT had sent me this video of him talking about it. The TV money, man. TV money.
Yeah.
Have you heard this? Have you heard this stat?
No.
So I guess Windhorst got his hands on the books like a couple years ago or something and figured out how much money each team's making from their regional TV deals. The Lakers make as much in a week, as the Grizzlies do all year.
That's sadly not surprising.
A week, man.
Travelers leaderboard, Kelly. I don't know if you know about this guy, Scottie Scheffler.
He's pretty good.
Yesterday, an 8-under 62, co-lead with Austin Ekroat, who also went 8-under 62 yesterday. In the words of Shaq, Austin Ekroat isn't Scottie Scheffler. They are tied for the lead. 2-stroke lead over both Wyndham Clark and Rory McIlroy, not to mention your guy, Keegan Bradley.
None of
those folks have teed off. Scheffler has, though. He is even through one hole. He just teed off a little while ago. So that's where that stands.
I had to find who tweeted this in. Game Time Jones, shout out to you, who had Austin Ekroat first round leader ticket.
Oh.
And he's tweeting at me like, well, it's toast, right? Scheffler tied him with like 6 holes left to go yesterday. Man, this is like Final Destination with sports betting. Like, you escaped death somehow. Like, be careful with whatever else you bet on this weekend. Like, that was the fact that you got to just chop that one. Oh, boy, that's a winner right there.
Ready to play Are We Sure?
Yeah, let's do it.
Estamos seguros.
You think you know what's going on in the sports betting world?
Are you sure?
I'm positive.
Gil and Kelly tackle the hard-hitting questions on another exciting edition of Are We Sure?
I love that he bills it as exciting. Very exciting.
Hey, overpromise, underdeliver. That's what we're all about. All right. We kind of spoiled this one already, but are we sure the Thunder are out on the Giannis Antetokounmpo sweepstakes? If there are a sweepstakes.
Did we spoil it on air or off air?
I don't know.
Oh, Giannis.
I don't know what's on air or off air anymore.
Oh, Giannis. Go, because Valika said he's staying. I'm not 100% sure. I'm not sure. I mean, I respect Felica and I trust his intel is good. But OKC has so many picks, right, that they could, just to mess with the Bucks, right? By the way, win or lose on Sunday, right? It's immaterial to this. They could offer them a package that is so enticing that it's essentially a dare not to take it.
So as much as we've talked about Giannis, the one thing we've always said is it's just going to be so tough for the Bucks to look at some of the trade offers they're going to get and say, this is not worth Giannis Antetokounmpo.
Unless you make it abstract enough where it's just picks.
Oklahoma City, on the other hand, when you're talking about a Jalen Williams or a Chet Holmgren going up there with a whole lot of draft picks, like you said, you're going to have to think real hard about that one. And I won't take it off the table, man. Like we said this about Thibodeau when the Eastern Conference Finals, he was dead man walking into the playoffs. Like these teams, a lot of times have made up decisions of whether they're going to be involved or make a decision after the playoffs, no matter what happens. So I'm not taking it off the table. Not at all.
Nope.
All right. Are we sure? Coastal Carolina has a shot to upset college baseball power LSU in the college.
Of course. They haven't lost since April 22nd. They've won 26 in a row. Of course they have a shot. That was easy.
Are we sure the Tigers should have the third shortest odds to win the World Series behind the Dodgers and the Yankees?
Well, I don't even know if they should be behind the Yankees. But the reason that they that is correct that they're in the top three is because the American League is so weak, right, compared to the National. So by virtue of that, they should be one of the shorter shots. But the playoffs remain the playoffs, right? Do the Tigers have enough starting pitching to get through that format? So on the one hand, yes, because they're in the American League. On the other hand, I can think of better you know, rotations set up for a postseason.
Okay. A little tennis for you. Are we sure Carlos Alcaraz should be the favorite to win Wimbledon on the men's side?
Yes, he's won the last two. Yannick Sinner has never won Wimbledon. Yannick Sinner just lost to Bublik yesterday. Yeah, Alcaraz should be the favorite for sure.
Are we sure Iga Świątek should be fourth on the futures board, Gil? Fourth?
Yes, we are sure.
What has happened?
Well, she's never... That's her worst surface. She's never won a... The only surface she's not won a slam on. The only three players above her are Elena Rybakina, who's won a Wimbledon, Aryna Sabalenka, who is world number one, and Coco Gauff, who's just coming off French Open. So, yeah, fourth is correct. And given how Iga has played as well.
Yep. Okay.
I am sure she should be.
Okay. The I'm gonna go down one to one John Legueza brought up earlier that I'm getting closer and closer to betting myself.
See how many times I try to get a baseball pick out of Legueza unsuccessfully?
Yeah, that didn't work. Yeah. Are we sure the Browns should be the favorite to have the fewest wins this season?
That's an interesting one because Legueza just said the Saints.
Yep.
But that's a value play was what he's saying, right? Based on the number. I have said that the Giants have the toughest schedule, and I don't know how they're gonna come up with even. I mean, they're not going to come close to that 5.5. Bet them under 5.5 on the win total. The only thing, so I guess what I would say is this. The problem is that the Giants have veteran quarterbacks, specifically Russell Wilson. So that alone, not to say that Cleveland doesn't have Joe Flacco, but obviously their quarterback situation is a little more murky.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So I should they be the short shot? Maybe, even though I'm so down on the Giants.
So I'm going to say there's three teams in the running for this. Browns, Saints, and Giants.
You would include the Saints as well.
But I do think you kind of hit why I would not be interested. Giants, I bet under their win total, so I guess I have to say they're in the mix. Yeah. But just the fact of having the quarterback makes it doesn't make them the team I want to bet. I think the difference between the Browns and the Saints is the division, right? The Saints, I think, are the worst team in the NFL. Like, I'm pretty dang sure about that. But that NFC South is not nearly as intimidating as what the AFC North or NFC East is going to be.
That's right. We've had a lot of Bryce Young love on the show this week, by the way. Did you catch that?
Yeah, we really have. Sorry, Bryce. I need another year. Yeah. I need another year for you to prove it to
me. Just like we were fair after the first year and said we need, we'll see.
Were we fair? Yeah. Maybe you were. I don't remember being very fair.
Yeah.
Okay, are we sure the Bills should be only plus 195 to be the number one seed in the AFC?
No, I think they should be. I think that's a great price.
I think to bet?
Yes, I do.
I'm so with you.
I think it should be shorter.
So Monday, we might be talking fewest and most wins in the NFL because I think I might have a bet in both markets.
I can also say this. If the Pacers win Game 7, I'm just warning everybody right now. We are going through all four of those miraculous wins in detail on Monday.
You've been warned.
Anything else?
That's it.
Are we sure? Estamos seguros. Hopefully that leads you to some bets or takes you off some. We'll come back. NBA Finals MVP. Is there a better way to bet this than the game itself, than the side itself? A different viewpoint. Numbers Game. VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Coming back.